Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 422 for Sunday, August 7th, 2016, are Kevin Crossman.
Aloha and welcome, Disneyland fans.
Brian Cassidy.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here.
And David Platt.
Let the voting madness begin.
Tonight, we've got the second and third rounds of the Magic for All Ages region, looking at attractions. These are all Disneyland attractions, but they're ones that appeal to, you know, everybody in the family. No height requirements, none of those kinds of things. But before we get into the debate and discussion of this tournament bracket, I do want to take a moment and thank our podcast sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mousemaster Travel Group. The Mousemaster Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mousemaster agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. Okay, gentlemen, we are working now on the third region to be sort of whittled down to its final two. I don't know, Kevin, you have any sort of initial thoughts as we begin the process of you know, determining a regional champion in the Magic for All Ages bracket?
Sure. Well, you know, it's nice that we're doing this region. It was designed this way so that we have a good amount of time to talk about these attractions that are beloved by families of all ages. Maybe not the ones you have to grab a fast pass for, but it's part of what makes the Disney park experience so magical. And so, you know, we've talked about Thrills and Classics. We've talked about the DCA attractions. We're going to talk about the entertainment kinds of attractions. But now we're talking about things more for littler kids or kids that are young at heart. And so we have two subregions, one for prince, one for princess. This is, you know, appealing to boys or girls. Obviously, there's a little bit of overlap on both sides. But in general, an attraction full of dolls is probably going to appeal more to girls than an attraction that's in a submarine, right? So that's our prince and princess regions here, subregions.
Okay. So we're going to dive right in to the prince subregion. And we start out with an interesting matchup here because it's a matchup between a ride, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, to be specific, and really what is mostly a character meet and greet experience, and that's Mickey's House and meeting Mickey Mouse there in Toontown. And David, I'm going to let you get us rolling here. Make an argument for either Mr. Toad's Wild Ride or Mickey's House.
All right. Well, like you said, this is a tough one just because they're so incredibly different. I mean, it's not even two rides. I think it's going to come down to me for uniqueness. Mr. Toad, this is the only place you can ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride anywhere in any Disney park, if I'm not mistaken. Mickey's House, while it's one of the better walkthroughs that I've seen, I'm sorry, one of the better meet and greets that I've seen, it is ultimately just a meet and greet. And there are other places in the park where you can still meet Mickey. He is occasionally out in Toontown or in Town Square at the beginning of the day. You can meet him over in DCA on Buena Vista Street. There are just a lot of other opportunities to meet Mickey. And there aren't any other opportunities to see Mr. Toad. So I'm going to have to go with Mr. Toad.
All right. So, you know, David has made the argument for Mr. Toad. Or I'm sorry, David has made the argument for, yeah, David has made the argument for Mr. Toad. I don't know, Kevin, do you have an argument to make for meeting Mickey in Mickey's House?
Well, I'd agree this is a tough matchup. And Mr. Toad here being basically the number two seed over here is obviously a tough opponent for the reasons that David talked about. And, you know, I think that among the dark rides that are in Fantasyland, Mr. Toad has a lot more adult appeal because of some of the subversive elements that are in the attraction and sort of its sort of cult druggy following there a little bit. And it is certainly unique. But just for me, I feel like Mickey's House is more than just a meet and greet. I think it is the sort of crowning achievement of Toontown as an experience, not just a place you go to ride a ride, but to experience what it's like to be a Toon in the way that you would go to Cars Land and just enjoy the ambiance. I like going to Toontown for that same experience when everything is well-maintained and all that other stuff. And Mickey's House, I think the meet and greet experience is great, and I've had very excellent, memorable experiences there with my kids. But I just like going into the whole grounds and the house and all the gags and just imagining what it'd be like to actually have Mickey Mouse in there. And, you know, sometimes he's, you know, you'll see Minnie or Mickey around in there too. So I will vote for Mickey's House in a tough matchup here.
Okay, so it all comes down to your shoulders here, Brian. We've got one vote for Mr. Toad's Wild Ride from David, praising its uniqueness. On the other hand, you know, Kevin really sees Mickey's House as in some way sort of a proxy for the atmosphere of Toontown itself and being the heart of that Toontown experience. What do you think? Who should advance? Mickey's House and meeting Mickey Mouse, or Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Well, I agree that the opportunities to meet that there are other opportunities to meet Mickey throughout the parks. But the actual walkthrough experience of Mickey's House is unique, and the theming is really wonderful, and you can spend you know, quite some time really poking through and looking at all the different things. And you can, like, we enjoyed reading the titles of the books that were on the bookshelf and trying to find the interactive elements throughout the house. But I'm going to give you the opportunity to create a tie here by casting my vote for Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I just loved its deviant nature. And it's, as David mentioned, its uniqueness throughout the entire Disney park landscape. It was just a lot of fun, you know, going through that ride. So I'm going to cast my vote for Mr. Toad here.
So, Brian there, you know, baited me a bit, sort of dared me to step up here and make a tie. I appreciate having that opportunity. I know this is a tough call. I agree it's a tough call. To me, I really think that, you know, Kevin's argument about Mickey's House and about the immersiveness of, you know, Mickey's House in that particular place in Town Square or in Toontown is the most persuasive to me argument, you know, for Mickey's House. But the more I think about it, I think that on the one hand, the fact that you can meet Mickey Mouse other places in other contexts that, you know, are also really great experiences, really great opportunities, and the uniqueness of Mr. Toad, that it's the only one that's, you know, still operating there. It's to a certain extent, one of the sort of forgotten Disney stories. You know, probably hurt more than helped by the execrable attempt at making a film that just failed, the live action version that Terry Gilliam worked on. So, you know, I think that because of all of that, I've got to say, I think the panel's got it. You know, I think it's appropriate you're conflicted over it, but I do think that Mr. Toad is the right choice, and I will step aside and allow Mr. Toad's Wild Ride to advance. So I guess perhaps fittingly, I'm sure there are people at home, you know, telling us that we should all now go to hell for eliminating the prize.
We'll be in good company, right?
Nice.
Right. Yep, I will save a seat for you.
All right, well, so that's going to lead us to a sort of an interesting transportation face-off in the Prince region, or sub-region, with Finding Nemo's Submarine Voyage facing off with Casey Jr.'s Circus Train. Casey Jr.'s Circus Train, maybe a little bit of a surprise steamroll victory over Dumbo the Flying Elephant in the first round. I don't know, Brian, what do you think? Finding Nemo's Submarine Voyage or Casey Jr.'s Circus Train?
Let the steamroll victory continue. I was really happy to ride the Submarine Voyage, even though it is the Finding Nemo theme instead of the original theming that it had when the ride first came into the park. You know, it's even though the theming has changed, the ride has a lot of historic significance to Disneyland. And, you know, there was a similar ride in Disney World that got pulled out. So I was really happy that I got to experience that underwater ride experience. But I think this was addressed in a previous podcast about the excruciatingly slow turnover as far as like unloading folks and loading in the next batch of people, and how it limits access to handicapped persons and anybody who might have claustrophobic issues. And it seems to me that after two or three times I'd be bored with that ride. So while it has these positive historic nostalgic elements to it, I just found that I enjoyed the Casey Circus Train a whole lot more. I think I heard someone talking about wanting to get into the monkey car, and that's where we rode, and my wife and I had a really fun time riding in the monkey car, the Circus Train. So I'm gonna cast my vote for Casey's Circus Train.
All right. So we have a vote for the Casey Jr. Circus Train. Kevin, I know you're a train guy. Did the Casey Jr. Circus Train, you know, fit in with that, train fanboy in you and carry it past Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage?
Well, it was interesting, the comments from Brian about the loading. And I heard this critique about Finding Nemo from a bunch of people. And honestly, I'm not sure I agree. I don't feel like it's so substantially different, especially in this case where it seems like Casey Jr., they maybe run one train at a time sometimes. You know, I really think that the Finding Nemo Submarine ride is held up after its refurb and retheme with Finding Nemo. And I still just really think that it's a great attraction. It's long, and yes, the lines can be long sometimes, but for historical value, for overall experience, I would say I still prefer the Submarine Voyage. I think there's a lot of pluses to Casey Jr., but it's not quite as thrilling as, you know, some of the things that still sometimes make me jump in the Submarine Voyage, some of the little surprises. So I, you know, again, these are all hard decisions. I think, well, the next one probably won't be for me, but this is you know, not such an easy choice, but I'm going to definitely go with the Submarine Voyage. I think it's overall a broader and more important part of the Disneyland experience.
Okay. So once again, we've got an argument on each side. We've got the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage, Kevin eloquently defending it as, you know, its role really in the history and development of the Disneyland theme park and its ability to, you know, hold up over time, versus the Casey Jr. Circus Train, the train guy even voting for the submarines. David, we turn to you. What do you think? Who's got it right?
Well, I'm glad I went last here because I didn't really have a compelling argument for either one. So I wanted to hear the other two guys' arguments. I was hoping there would be a little more consensus there to not have me be conflicted going into this. But I think I was a big proponent of Casey Jr. early on over Dumbo. I think it's a better experience. But I'm going to have to go with Finding Nemo here as well for a lot of the same reasons that Kevin said. I think overall it's a more entertaining experience. It's very, I hate to, I know this word is totally overused in our podcast, but it's exceptionally well themed. You really feel like you're going underwater if you didn't know better. The scene with the, I don't know what the fish are called, where it's totally dark and the fish with the light hanging off the front of them. Are they lantern fish?
I'm not entirely certain.
Yeah, but
I know which ones you're talking about.
Yeah,
scary
yeah.
fish.
The scary fish, yes. The ones that make all the kids. Yes, that scene is incredibly effective. I think it has a lot of effective scenes like that with the jellyfish. Whereas Casey Jr., it's a cute ride. I enjoy it immensely. But for overall experience, I'm going to have to cast my vote for Finding Nemo.
Okay. And
possibly force a tie.
It's an anglerfish, by the way.
Anglerfish. Okay.
That's right, because it looks like they're fishing.
Yes.
Okay. So interesting position that David puts me in here. You know, that we've got two votes for the Finding Nemo submarine voyage, one vote for the Casey Jr. circus train. Comes to me, I know that, you know, David's anticipation probably triggered by my you know, oft-referenced claustrophobia about the Finding Nemo submarine voyage.
Possibly.
But, I'm not going to make a tie here either, because although I appreciate the Casey Jr. circus train, and I think that Brian makes a good argument for it as a relaxing, you know, sort of everybody in the family can enjoy the view and the experience and the funky circus, you know, train cars and all of that. I know that for my family, you know, both my kids got off of the Finding Nemo submarine voyage really excited about what they had just done. And with Casey Jr., they didn't dislike it, but they didn't come off of it with that sense of excitement that they did Finding Nemo submarine voyage. And, you know, a piece of that was probably that they wanted to share with me about the experience because I hadn't, you know, gotten on the ride with them because I don't claustrophobia thing. But I just think it's indicative of why it ought to advance, that it does seem to inspire a much more passionate response from people who do ride the attraction. So I'm going to allow Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage to advance. And we now have our two semifinalists in the Prince subregion. So we'll be back with them shortly. But before we do that, we do have some battles to clean up here on the princess side of the bracket. We did have a tie in the first round in this group, and our tie came in this spot. It's a small world, and maybe in somewhat of a surprise, the Storybook Land canal boats had forced a tie. And, you know, it's sort of interesting to me because if I'm remembering correctly, I had to cast a vote for Small World to create the tie. Right? Kevin, help me out here. Am I remembering correctly?
Somebody might have been drinking that night, so I can't recall.
Someone might have been, I see.
I think you're right, Aaron. I think
Storybook Land Canal Boats had pulled ahead early, and then I thought, you know, I'm going to let the listeners get involved here. Well, it sounds like the listeners were on the opposite side here of what the panel was initially, because the vote on the blog was overwhelming. I believe it's a Small World finished with 76% of the vote. So yeah, not even close. So it's a Small World. We'll be advancing, and it will meet a second round opponent, a fellow dark ride in the Fantasyland area there, Alice in Wonderland. Now, let's see, Kevin, I don't think you've gone first yet. So you're going to get us started with these two, you know, classic Disneyland attractions, Magic for All Ages, classic attractions. They could have gone in either category. Head to head, it's a Small World versus Alice in Wonderland.
Well, yeah, and like I mentioned, I foreshadowed this is not going to be a tough decision. And it's funny because if I recall, I actually was one of those yes votes for Small World in the previous round. Yep. And but in this case, I feel like Small World, even though it's a number four seed here, it's a weak opponent. It's unfortunately, it's coming up to me against Alice in Wonderland, which I think is still maybe the pinnacle of dark rides at Disneyland, especially with all the ways that they've added new technology and new gags and new things into the ride and still kept some of the original outdoor track elements that were, you know, for a while sort of in jeopardy of being lost forever due to OSHA regulations. So the fact that Disney's turned a corner with this attraction and is still great and still gives you those thrills on two different levels, going up the hill, going down outside, in a sort of Alice in Wonderland mini land over there in Fantasyland with the Mad Tea Party and the little house there, Mad Hatter. I just think Alice in Wonderland's great. And, you know, if we were, you know, having to kill some attractions, this would be one I would pick it for. So I'm voting for Alice in Wonderland.
Okay. So
clarify that statement, Kevin.
If they were killing attractions, this would be one I would try to save.
Oh, got it. I thought you said this would be one you try to kill, which I couldn't reconcile. All right.
So we have the impassioned defense of Alice in Wonderland right there from Kevin. You know, Brian, were you as impressed with Alice? Or, you know, is there an argument to be made here for It's a Small World?
Actually, before I comment on this pair, I wanted to take a chance to give a shout out to Storybookland Canal Boats. I don't know if anybody mentioned the interaction with the wildlife and the miniature buildings, and how amusing it is to have this giant like cormorant like monster looking creature.
Monster duck.
My wife and I were always amused when we saw the like the wildlife, you know, next to these small buildings, and kind of imagined like, you know, 60s and 70s monster movies. So I just wanted to comment on that because I probably wouldn't have had a chance otherwise. But anyway, back to the planned matchup. Yes, I'm going to cast my vote for Alice in Wonderland as well. I do love the theming of Small World, and you know, Mary Blair's designs, you know, both with the dolls and the supporting artwork throughout the ride. And I also like the idea that they have added characters from the various Disney properties throughout the different lands. That's a neat addition that isn't in the Magic Kingdom version. And I actually think that the Disneyland version is better than the Magic Kingdom one. But even so, Alice in Wonderland, this has been a factor in my previous decisions with other matchups, is the uniqueness to the Disneyland park. We don't have an Alice in Wonderland on the East Coast. And it's incredibly themed, and like Kevin mentioned, the integration of the new technology and the refurbishments has just made it a really wonderful ride. So I'm going to cast my vote for Alice.
All right. So we've got a second strong vote for Alice. Is it a clean sweep, David?
I think it may be, yes. while I do think It's a Small World is the best version of It's a Small World that I've seen, Alice in Wonderland, I think, is arguably one of the top two dark rides in the park, maybe even the best. I go back and forth on which is the best. But the way they have updated the ride, as Kevin mentioned, the way they worked the new technology into it, and it doesn't stand out like it does in some other rides that they've attempted updates on. It's worked in seamlessly. It tells the story very, very well, as opposed to some other dark rides. So I'm going to have to cast my vote for Alice. As much as I love the Disneyland version of It's a Small World, Alice gets my vote.
All right. Well, you know, I guess on the one hand, I shouldn't be all that surprised. I agree. I think that in some ways, the Alice in Wonderland dark ride attraction, you know, it may be the sort of perfect example of the form, in my opinion. I mean, they've done a beautiful job of all of the things we talked about here, integrating the new and the old sort of elements of the show, telling the story. You know, a unique sort of, you know, perspective. I mean, we'll hear an argument in a minute, I'm sure, about another attraction that, you know, takes a unique approach to giving you or gives you a unique perspective in a dark ride. But, you know, the bi-level piece out of here in Alice is, I think, important to note. It's different and in an important way. I mean, it's you can appreciate it. So, it's surprising to me, I guess, that I don't have a stronger argument to make for It's a Small World. You know, that facade is beautiful. It's become an integrated part of nighttime entertainment even. But despite all of that, despite holiday overlays that everybody seems to love, I got to agree. So Alice in Wonderland advances with very little opposition. Right, so next up, we're going to kind of close out the Magic for All Ages second round with a mirror of our first matchup with a meet and greet and an attraction. We've got the Fantasy Fair Royal Hall meet and greets versus the Peter Pan's Flight, sort of classic dark ride. And David, why don't you get us started here? You know, the princess meet and greets, the Lost Boys, from a flying boat.
All right. Well, to me, there's really not much of a contest here. I mean, the meet and greet is cool. It's great that you get to meet three or four princesses with a relatively short wait. It's a pretty well-designed meet and greet. But Peter Pan is, along with Alice in Wonderland, like I mentioned earlier, one of the top two dark rides in both parks. It's just the magic of hanging from the ceiling makes you really feel like you're sailing on that flying ship. The updates they've done to it are, for the most part, really great and enhance it in a really positive way. Again, just like Alice, it tells the story of the movie really, really well. And it's just a classic. There's not much more that can be said about it. Peter Pan's got my vote.
All right, so we've got one vote for the classic Peter Pan. Kevin, is there love for the princesses there?
I love a good princess, but in this case, Peter Pan's Flight is gonna win it in, you know, without it really being close, I think, because there is really something special about this attraction. It, you know, still has the appeal, even though it has all the giant long lines. People will wait 45 minutes, an hour plus, just to have this two-minute attraction. Again and again and again. It's pretty magical in my book. So, you know, and I think this definitely has a lot of cross-gender appeal as well. So I'll vote for Peter Pan.
All right. So we've got two votes for Peter Pan. Brian, you're going to throw a lifeline to the princesses?
Oh, geez. I wish you didn't phrase it like that. But no, I think I'm going to cast my vote for Peter Pan as well. You know, for all the reasons that Kevin and David have already mentioned, and I just wanted to reiterate the fact that you have the perspective, you're going through the ride, you know, from above, as opposed to, you know, sitting on a track at the bottom of the ride, which is, I think, unique to the, I mean, not to Disneyland, but it's unique to that particular ride on both coasts. So yeah, my vote will seal the deal here.
All right, so you got a clean sweep for Peter Pan, setting up a very interesting third round matchup here. So let's head back up to the top of the bracket and go ahead and work our way through these third round matchups. When we're done, we should have the regional finalists for the Magic for All Ages region. And first matchup here gives us the champion of the Prince subregion. We have Mr. Toad's Wild Ride versus the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. Cars versus submarines. Brian, who wins?
I'd say Mr. Toad. I love the deviant nature of the ride. I don't know what that says about me, but anyway.
Sure you do.
And the theming is really wonderful. I don't know what else to say. I just want to cast my vote for Mr. Toad.
All right. So Brian is unquestioningly and very quickly voting for Mr. Toad. Kevin, what do you think?
Well, I didn't vote for Mr. Toad in the last round, and so I guess it would be odd if I didn't choose Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage in this case. So that's what I'm going to do. And you know, again, I think... we talked about it already. Mr. Toad really is a classic. But to me, just the broader scope, and I think overall is a stronger attraction. And especially now that it's so unique, and especially now that they've brought it back from the dead and integrated the characters in, I think, a very reasonable and good way. It's pretty cool when you're under the water and you see all the stuff under there, and you see that Finding Nemo characters swimming around. And it would be great if they could actually update the storyline with the Finding Dory characters, or even do something original, would be even better, rather than just a retelling of Finding Nemo.
Right.
But that being said, I still think it's a very strong attraction, and that will get my vote in this round.
Okay. So David, it's going to come onto your shoulders now. We've got a vote for Mr. Toad and a vote for Nemo.
Good answer. All right. Well, usually when it's a pretty strong matchup like this, I've kind of fallen back on the uniqueness factor of the rides. Can't do that here. They're both one-offs. You can't find them in any other park. So I'm going to have to go with which ride I think is just a better overall entertainment experience. And I think that is Finding Nemo, for a lot of the reasons Kevin said. It's a great use of technology. Yes, it could stand to be updated, both with new characters and with newer technology, but I think it still holds up really well. I mentioned a lot of the reasons earlier that I like it, so I'm not going to go over that again. But even with the stale air and the steep steps, Finding Nemo has my vote.
Okay. So I guess I have the opportunity. I could make a tie here if I wanted to. I consider doing that. I mean, I do think that there's something to be said for Mr. Toad. I think against a lot of other attractions, I might have done it. I might have said, I'm going to let the listeners decide. But I think really what it comes down to here is that, Mr. Toad had a great run, but I think the panel got it right, ultimately. The majority of the panel did, at least. I think that Finding Nemo deserves to advance. It's a combination. Not only is it a unique attraction to the park overall, but really it's a unique ride system. You don't have anything even remotely similar. And there are other attractions that are dark rides, many of whom, manage the form better than Mr. Toad. Brian's comments about the subversive nature of Mr. Toad aside, which are well taken, I just think there's not enough there to make it, stand out against a truly unique attraction in the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. So the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage will advance, and we will go to our sort of sub-regional championship on the Princess side. Sort of the tour de force of dark ride matchups, Alice in Wonderland versus Peter Pan. So, Kevin, you made us do this. Who's going to advance?
Well, to be fair, I actually tried to, you know, stack the deck in a different way with the seating here, but the voices have spoken, and Alice in Wonderland is here against the expected, potential champion of all time, Peter Pan, and I'm going to vote for Alice in Wonderland because I just think overall, it to me is much more enjoyable. When you factor in the time to wait and all the other stuff, I just enjoy the experience of Alice in Wonderland more than Peter Pan. Again, it's not a bad thing against Peter Pan. It just, to me, I just enjoy the whole thing, and especially that outdoor portion to me is really the kind of key part that you come out of the dark ride and you're out into Fantasyland. You get this great vista of the Mad Tea Party and the Matterhorn and the monorail coming by maybe, and wave to your family who might be out there waiting for you. It's just a great experience. So that's why I'm voting for Alice in Wonderland.
All right. So we have one vote for Alice. Brian, you were a big advocate there of Peter Pan in the last round over the princess meet and greets. Do you have the same enthusiasm with Peter Pan up against Alice in Wonderland?
Well, I was also a big enthusiast of Alice in that round. And I would, it's really close. I think Alice edges out Peter Pan by just a hair. I think they're both wonderful rides. I agree with Kevin on the point where you have that outdoor section of the ride. In between the two dark portions. In addition to that, I'm going to let the fact that Alice in Wonderland is unique to Disneyland, whereas Peter Pan is in both Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom. So I'm going to let that sort of push me over the edge and cast my vote for Alice.
Okay, so Brian has been pushed over an edge and voted for Alice. So David, you want to actually push him over an edge? when it was in the last round there, you made a pretty sort of clear case between those two previous matchups that in your mind, Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland are kind of one and two in that order.
Yeah, I kind of set myself up for a really conflicted decision here. I realized that as soon as the vote happened. So I am going to leave it to let it go with the ride that gives me the most magical moment out of either ride. There's one moment that keeps popping in my head, and that is that moment when you exit the nursery from Peter Pan and sail out over London with the We Can Fly song piping over the speakers. I find that one of the most magical moments on any ride. And then you sail through the expanse of the twinkling stars, and they just made it seem so expansive, that space in a tiny little area. And just because of that moment, I'm incredibly conflicted about this. But I have to pick one, so I'm going with Peter Pan and hoping that Aaron can force a tie here.
All right, well, so this is maybe, what, the third time that y'all have gone fishing for a tie in tonight's matchups? I'm terribly conflicted here because, Brian's last comment about Alice rings true to me in a lot of ways. I mean, this is the My Disneyland tournament, and Alice is unique to Disneyland, whereas Peter Pan is pretty similar to Walt Disney World and Disneyland. There are a few elements that are unique to one side or the other,
foil volcano.
Yeah, and cue elements at Walt Disney World and some new projection effects maybe in the Disneyland side that maybe I haven't translated over yet. If I was voting just for me, then I'd be casting my vote for Alice. But, it's the last matchup of the night. We haven't had any others. I think that the listeners deserve to get a voice in this region here. So I'm going to go ahead and make the tie and let the listeners decide, because I think it is close enough. And you know what? Really, if we're going to determine who wins the grand battle of dark rides, there ought to be more than four of us involved in this conversation.
Hear, hear.
So yes, I agree.
We'll post this one on the blog and encourage people to cast their votes, Peter Pan versus Alice in Wonderland, so that we know who our other semifinalist is, or actually who our finalist competitors will be for this region. So just to do a quick recap of where we are, we're now down to two attractions left in the Magic for All Ages bracket. In the Prince subregion, we had Mr. Toad advance against Autopia, and again against Mickey's House and meeting Mickey in a much closer race. Finally defeated by Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. The Submarine Voyage advanced by beating the Mad Tea Party and the Casey Jr. Circus Train. Got to go slow when I do this, because I always read the bracket wrong when I go backwards. Now, on the princess side of things, Alice in Wonderland really kind of made short work of its side of the bracket. It's a small world, won a hard-fought battle over the Storybook Land canal boats to advance, but Alice in Wonderland then beat It's a Small World, maybe surprisingly handily. In the other half of the princess bracket, we had Peter Pan's Flight advancing readily over Pixie Hollow, and then Fantasy Fair, which had survived Snow White's Scary Adventure, was not able to survive Peter Pan. Peter Pan and Alice were going to leave for the listeners to decide, so either Peter Pan or Alice in Wonderland will face off against the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage as we bring this tournament to a close here in a few weeks. So, you know, you've heard a lot of opinions from us. We're going to need your opinion to get to a regional final in this region. So please hit the blog and cast your votes. We'd love to hear not just your vote, but your comments as well. You can get those comments to us by emailing us at podcast@dizdads.com. You can visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at DizDads Podcast on Twitter and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Or on Facebook, you can catch us at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Kevin Grossman.
We're all mad here.
Brian Cassidy.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And David Blatt.
Thanks. Have a great evening, everybody.
You really have a good bunch of material for a outtake reel there, if you want to.
For sure.
The whole segment.
I don't mind embarrassing myself. Include some things that are from Disneyland and some things that are, well, actually, edit that. I'm looking now. Were there any DCA things included in this bracket?
No, it's all Disneyland.
It is all Disneyland. Okay, so let me fix that. We get a show in the Fantasy Fair Royal Hall and a classic dark ride with Peter Pan's Flight.
This would be a tough matchup with a show against a ride if it were any other ride.
I wish somebody had said show versus ride when this bracket was being created, because it probably belongs in the other side of the bracket. Yeah. Whoever created this bracket should be fired.
Brian, is there an argument to be made for Peter Pan over the Fantasy Fair Royal Hall show?
Geez, the pressure's on, isn't it?
Hang on. We screwed up this whole thing, and it's not my fault because I didn't say the word show first. So Royal Hall is the meet and greet.
Oh, because the show is separate. It's on the other side.
And it is actually in the correct bracket.
All right, so we're going to
redo this whole thing.
Oh, wow, I got really confused at that last bit when we had the redo.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Dude, I can't believe I screwed that up.
All right, good night, everyone.